This week on New Classical Tracks, you're going to hear about Sanctuary Road. It's a new oratorio commissioned by the New York Oratorio Society, and they've made a live recording out of the world premiere performance that took place at Carnegie Hall. This oratorio shines a light on William Still. He was a conductor of the Underground Railroad. Not only did Still risk his life helping people find freedom, he wrote about their stories and their struggles, and that was really unique. It's something not many people were doing. And in return, many of those people wrote letters of gratitude to William Still. And those words are set to music in this new oratorio. I'm Julie Amacher, and this is New Classical Tracks. Enjoy. I'm talking with composer Paul Moravec, librettist Mark Campbell, and soprano Laquita Mitchell about a new recording called Sanctuary Road. It's an oratorio that was recorded live at Carnegie Hall in May of 2018. Welcome. Thanks for joining me. Who would like to share the story behind this project? How did it come about?
This is Paul speaking. This project began really out of my friendship with Kent Treidel, the conductor of the Oratorio Society of New York, and our collaboration over the years, which goes back really almost 20 years. And he approached me about writing an oratorio or a large choral work for chorus and orchestra and soloists. And with the support of Jody Spellin, a member of the chorus and a patron of the group, and the three of us decided to write a piece about the Underground Railroad, which I've always been interested in. It's such an amazing and important epic saga in American history, and it's naturally dramatic. It lends itself well to a musical dramatic rendering. And so I brought in Mark Campbell, my librettist on The Shining. We wrote an opera called The Shining with Minnesota Opera. That was in 2016. And it was his inspired idea to focus on the figure of William Still, who was the head of the station, as they called it, in Philadelphia on the Underground Railroad. And so we took it from there.
Mark, what did it mean to be a conductor of the Underground Railroad?
A conductor on the Underground Railroad was a person who was responsible for helping slaves escape from the South to the North. Now, just getting to Boston or New York was not often enough. There was still a tremendous amount of peril. A slave could be discovered and brought back. So often they ended up in Canada. They had to go as far north as Canada, had to go across the country line. William Still was remarkable not only because he was an abolitionist, because he risked his life to help these people out, many, many people out. Not only was an abolitionist, he was a writer, and he chronicled all of the narratives that he got to know of the people that he helped rescue. And there are very, very few narratives out there about rescued slaves. And William Still is extremely significant because he wrote everything down, and that is actually one of the points of this oratorio.
The title of this work is very significant, Sanctuary Road, and it's significant not only historically, but it has application for today. Paul and Mark, can you talk about how you collaborated on the title and why it's so important?
We were trying to think of a title, which very often is the hardest thing. So we decided to have one and invent a title. And I wanted the word sanctuary somewhere in the title because I was thinking of sanctuary cities, because I think that there are aspects to this story, the Underground Railroad, that are timeless and universal. And the story doesn't end. It hasn't ended. There are aspects of it that continue today. And I was thinking in particular sanctuary cities. And so then Mark came up with the title Sanctuary Road, which I think is brilliant.
And road is because this involves travel and escape. Yeah. And it implies an action. If you have just the word sanctuary, of course, we think of churches and Hunchback of Notre Dame, I guess. I guess that's where I go. So it was a collaborative effort to come up with this title, and it took a little while.
Laquita, you're the soprano soloist in this oratorio. What does it mean to you to be part of this wonderful project?
Well, when I first was given the score, I looked over all of the music, not just the pieces that that I was involved in. And I thought to myself, I don't think I've ever been a part of anything like this before. And I knew that it was important for me to be a part of a retelling of stories, of slave narratives for the 21st century, right? I really felt like it was important that it was, like Mark says, that it was chronicled. And I felt like, as an artist, it was important for me to lend my voice to something that had something to do with me as a Black woman. So I felt that it was important for me to be a part of it, and actually something for my family and I to sit around and talk about their experiences, which I didn't really know much about. It's fostered tons of conversations, especially today. So I'm really, really happy to be a part of the piece.
Do you have a connection to this story of the Underground Railroad?
On my dad's side of the family, my father's side of the family is from Charleston, South Carolina. And I know for a fact that I think, 55% of enslaved people came through Charleston, and my family happened to settle there and are still there to this day, actually. So I don't know. I felt like singing this piece and being a part of the piece and reading of William Still's work, I felt that it was important for me, honestly, to be involved in it and for my family to understand that there are so many other tales besides theirs. And it's just great to hear some of the older people sit around and talk about it and talk about their experiences.
Is there an experience that you'd be comfortable sharing?
Well, the interesting thing about tales of migrating and tales of leaving is that on my mother's side of the family, they are what I call immigrants. My mom is from the country of Panama. And in order for my family to come here to New York City or North America, my family went to Canada first. Then they came to the United States. So the understanding of loss and abandonment and all that, those other issues, I start to think about that when I begin to sing, because I know so many immigrants who families who have sent their children to a foreign country first, or they arrive first and then their children arrive second, or things of that nature. Obviously, it's a bit different, but sort of the same in that feeling of trying to come to a place where they know there's possibility, where there's freedom, where there's education, where there is an understanding that they can, you know, they can realize this dream, you know, of being free and of being whole, I would say. So in that aspect, my mother's side of the family, I can totally speak to that. On my dad's side of the family, it's been such a long time for them that their stories are sort of in some ways hidden. I don't know. We just don't really talk about it that much. So to read these tales by William Still sort of ignited this sort of talk, I think. And I'm so pleased that we're speaking about it now. You know, we're in a time right now where we need to talk about what has happened in the past. Fortunately, it's starting to happen again. So we need to be really vigilant about making sure that our history is intact and that we're speaking the truth about what had happened, you know.
Paul, this is the second in a series of large-scale works that you're calling American Historical Oratorios. Why is this series significant and so important to you?
As a composer, I'm attracted to the stories of ordinary people caught up in extraordinary circumstances. There's something about that, particularly American stories. The idea of ordinary people singing about extraordinary acts of courage and compassion and bravery and perseverance and so on is especially moving, because it says to me, there but for the grace of God go I. There's something deeply affecting about that. And I find the same spirit in the stories that William Still collected in his compendium of slave narratives. And they're just tremendously moving and important stories that would have been lost to history if William Still had not interviewed the people that he helped and actually took the time to write down assiduously all the details of their stories. And there's something deeply moving about that, about this remarkable guy. One thinks about people in history that they would like to have met. You know, number one, I guess, is people like Jesus, Moses, and so on. But, you know, at the top of my list, right up there anyways, is William Still. Who was this guy? You know, Harriet Tubman is well known. Frederick Douglass is well known. Books have been written about them. There's still no standalone biography of William Still. I think it's waiting to be written, and I think his time will come. Laquita and I were just talking about this movie Harriet that's out now. Came out in November. William Still is front and center because it's the story of Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad. And so, you know, he's getting some attention in the movies anyways.
Oh, that's great. I have this question to ask you, Paul and Mark. Is it at all unusual that you, as two white males, have put this oratorio together?
Is it unusual?
Well, I mean, are you getting any comments about that or feedback about that? I mean,
let me answer that because I think it's a great question and it's something that we are looking at. And when Paul first approached me and said I'd like us to write an oratorio about the Underground Railroad, of course I leapt at the idea because I really wanted to work with Paul. I love his music. I love working with Paul. And I also love the subject matter. But I also was aware that the subject matter is problematic when the creative team is composed of two white guys. I immediately found William Still. And I'm not going to be a white guy writing about slavery, but I can certainly honor an African-American who was a conductor, who was there, who chronicled these stories. I can write about him truthfully. And as long as the work is truthful, and it is, and as long as we put the African-American singers in the forefront of these stories, then I think we're fine. And that's precisely what happened at Carnegie Hall. When five African-American soloists came out and stood in front of a mostly white chorus, big sea of white in the back, the audience erupted into applause. And that moment alone said, this is okay. You are allowing us to tell our stories. So it was at first a little uncomfortable, and now I feel absolutely 100% right that this was the best thing to do.
Laquita, would you agree with that, or do you have any other insight to add?
I guess the question is, if not them, then who? Then who's going to do it? In my opinion, as an artist, we needed this piece. We really didn't have anything like this, honestly. I feel that at first when it was first suggested to me and I looked at everything and I realized who Paul and Mark were, I thought to myself, oh, that's pretty interesting. But when I think about all of the stories that have been told in other genres, like, we're not really thinking about that. We're thinking about the actual story, the actual truth behind it. And that's what brought me to the realization that this was absolutely okay. And when I looked to my left and when I looked to my right and I, you know, was singing with these amazing, amazing people, some of which I've worked with before and some I had not, I thought to myself, this is actually right. Like, it's beautiful, beautiful music. The stories are honest. They're real. They're true, just like Mark stated earlier. And I had no reservations about it at all. Not one bit.
I think if Paul and I share, I think most of us, if we share a dream for this oratorio, is that it will bring these stories and the person of William Still to the forefront of American history. He's been ignored too long. And I personally hope that this oratorio, just because we wrote it, doesn't mean that there cannot be another 100 oratorios about William Still and more stories about African Americans and slavery. because we really do need these stories now. They're getting buried, and we can't. We cannot let them get buried.
There's a great line in the oratorio that Mark wrote, "Everyone must hear, everyone must know," which comes in the finale. And that's sort of our spirit behind this. And by the way, Mark and I don't have a copyright on this story. I mean, anybody can yeah. do this story. I mean, everyone can tell the story. Anyone can tell the story.
And I hope they do.
And we hope they do. You know, I mean, if somebody wants to write another oratorio about this, great, fine, this very subject. And maybe not about William Still, but other aspects of the Underground Railroad and about
or other conductors or abolitionists we don't even know about.
Exactly.
That have also been buried.
Exactly. And other aspects of the history of slavery. I mean, why not?
Thank you for letting me ask that tough question and for being so authentic in your responses. How did Bach's St. Matthew Passion become your model for this oratorio?
Well, I was a boy chorister in the Episcopal Church, and that's really the basis of my training. So I got to sing all the great stuff. It's a great privilege, and including Bach's St. Matthew Passion and all this other great stuff. And so that musically, dramatically, oratorios and cantatas and so on are in my blood. This is how I think dramatically and how I tell stories through music. And it occurred to me that William Still is really like the evangelist in St. Matthew Passion. That is, he is a stand-in for St. Matthew himself, and he's telling the story.
How old are you? 32 years old, first day of June. Were you born a slave? Yes.
But he's the narrator. And not only that, he's not just the narrator. He's a participant in the action because he's the one effecting the escapes of people like Henry Box Brown.
They can't seem to read. They don't seem to know the crate I'm in. It says, this side up with care. This side up with care in big, big letters to clarify.
So he's not just, he's an effective actor, participant in the action, as well as a chronicler, as well as the commentator. So he has a kind of triple role in this whole thing. And so my default setting then was to think of William Still as the evangelist of the story.
Laquita, could you please share a few moments in this work that are especially meaningful to you? And where might we hear those?
I'd have to say the ensemble work.
We're giving you some new clothing.
New clothing.
A good meal.
A good meal.
Money and a ticket away from here.
I know, it's weird. I'm a soprano and I'm speaking about my colleagues.
You should be talking about your tune.
Exactly. Rain is beautiful, obviously. It's a gorgeous tune. We hear tons and tons and tons of stories about how they escaped to freedom, how they got there. And this woman, or this soprano voice, sings about getting to this free place. And it rains. And every time I think about that piece, I think about the rain coming down and washing away all of the despair that she felt in getting there. And we also know that when it rained, it cut off all the scent for the dogs who were chasing after these people. It cuts off their scent. And that rain is a feeling, a washing of a newness, honestly.
It's a baptism.
It's a baptism, almost. Exactly.
You mentioned the path to freedom, and there is a freedom theme that runs throughout this oratorio. Paul, could you talk a little bit about that? Where do we first hear it, and where does that thread follow throughout the work?
There is a leitmotif in this work. Actually, there's several leitmotifs in this work. Every character has their own leitmotif, identifying music associated with them, so that when you hear the music, even if you're not thinking about the music consciously, subliminally, I'm working on your central nervous system through the music so that you feel what the characters are feeling and so on. And there's one central motive, which I call the freedom motive, which is, if I might sing it, it goes, "Don't bother tomorrow. The first time you hear it, it's people still in slavery, it's the quartet, singing about the hope of freedom. And it's called Quietly, because they dare not say it aloud.
Quietly, quietly.
And we keep hearing this theme evolve through many of the movements, you know. And finally, the entire chorus and everybody in the ensemble is singing it out at the top of their lungs in the finale. And that's how the whole piece ends, with the freedom motive. So there's this evolution of this musical motive from this tiny little seed at the beginning that's planted early on. And by the end, it's this magnificent oak with his great branches.
When I listen to the ending and I realize that the words that I'm singing are the actual words that were written to William Still in thanking him for what he had done. It just brings tears to my eyes to know that these people, some of which could not read or write at the time that they arrived to their sanctuary, and then over the years, over the months, they're learning how to read and write. And they send these letters of gratitude to William Still and send well wishes to him and his wife. Just, it brings me to tears to know that these people risked everything to be free. And so for me, the finale means so much to me, because in the end, even though it seems like, you know, they've reached the mountaintop, they've reached this place of freedom, we know that it's just the beginning of their hardships, but it's just an ounce of gratitude for where they are. It's just not over, you know, for them. And still to this day, it's just not over. But it's just a portion of what they experienced and how they ended together. It's just phenomenal.
Sanctuary Road, composed by Paul Moravec, and the Oratorio Society of New York Chorus and Orchestra were performing. Kent Tridle was conducting. If you're enjoying New Classical Tracks, the best thing that you can do for this show is to tell somebody else about it. Help spread the word, and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. Thank you to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julie Amacher.